This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trees Lead, and a couple of things that we're going to be talking about today. So let's get on with that. By the way, I hope you're well. By the way, I always remember too late to say, I hope you're well and that you're okay. And we can continue with each other, which knowing that you're doing well. That's always a very important thing to take time to acknowledge, isn't it? Because you never know. Well, House Republicans yesterday laid out a 17-point plan that they titled Commitment to America. They always have these really great titles. Commitment to America. And the commitment to America is really a commitment to get rid of Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, to put her out to pasture this year so that they can then have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, of course. Sounds like a good plan. Or is this wishful thinking? What do you think? There hasn't been, in my recent memory, a really nasty time like this. There hasn't been one. I mean, people have been nasty. Politics is always nasty and full of intrigue and people plotting against other people. But it seems to have gone to new heights this year, this election year. And there are very nasty plots all over the place. People are plotting to, kill off candidacies of other people. People are trying to put people out to pasture. What's bad is, as that's not bad enough, okay, what's really bad is this effort being made to persuade us that this is just the way it is. This is politics, is the phrase. This is politics. And what they're doing is just politics. And even if we are startled by it, even if we are ashamed at the depths that people have been sinking to, and this goes all the way to the top, our president's conduct, his behavior, even his speech, it's become so vile, so vicious, so nasty. I don't remember a time in recent memory where the atmosphere has been so poisonous and just about everybody is doing it. So you can't say, well, that one is worse than that one. They all kind of in the swamp together. It's very, very distressing. And there seems to be no center of peace and tranquility and about the serious business of governance and seeing to the people's business. It's about backbiting and stabbing people in the back. It's about doing damage to somebody else's reputation, even if it's a lie. It's about causing great harm to people, preferably the kind that they can't get over anytime soon. So this is the plan, the so-called commitment to America. They want us to think that this is a patriotic act. Now, as you know, I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi myself. But this is really, I mean, I'm at a loss for words. These people are operating like assassins to put her out the pasture, just to get her out. And of course, reserve her seat for themselves. Then there'll be another set of fighting. Who gets it? We've gone to a whole new depth that we have not gone before in politics. And but they're plotting ahead. They're going ahead with it. She knows they're coming after her. And they know that they're going after her. And whatever it is they have to do, they are committed, as they, to take something from the title of their plan. Commitment to America is a commitment to assassinate a person politically, to take what they have and make it theirs, and to do so not caring about the consequences. What a state of affairs. So the question on that score is this good thinking, a good plan to get rid of Nancy Pelosi, to put her out to pasture, and to convert her seat? As you know, all political parties in one way or the other, this is what they do. They jockey for position. And basically to now have, if that is accomplished, they will be able to have the House seat that she now has. They'll have the White House, because that is headed currently by the president, the esteemed President Donald J. Trump. And they will also have a spare. They'll have a winning shot at getting a trifecta, the Senate as well, which currently is headed by a Republican. But who knows? Maybe they're fed up of him too. The way things are going, we have no idea. Is it something in the water? Is it something that a disease that is spreading of just cutthroat? You don't know who your friend is, if you even have a friend. Party politics has become so disgusting. You don't want any part of it, and you don't want to think that the country itself has reached these depths of deprivation. So let's tackle that first, and then we have other things to talk about at 888-874-4888. That's the number to call. Is it a good move to openly declare war against Nancy Pelosi, to put her out to pasture, and to try, as the Republicans clearly are right now, to try for a trifecta? They would have all three seats of power in the people's house. They'll have the Senate as well. They'll have the Speaker of the House position. And they would declare victory because they have all of the power, all of it. And they would declare themselves victorious. They have achieved a great thing. But do you get a sense that they care about the damage that they're doing? Not only to themselves, but particularly to the country itself. How do you think people are seeing us as a nation from their perspective? What has America become under Donald Trump? Let me know, 888-874-4888. There's another issue that I'd like to deal with, and it's sad. Well, since we're talking politics, let me stay on that first, because the story I want to talk about is very sad. So I'll substitute this one. Biden has treasure, but Trump has the treasury. Now, this is hinting at this new level of larceny, and it's being done in the open. Biden has raised a record amount of money in the last month. And by the way, I am so unimpressed with his approach to his own campaign. He seems to have run out of energy. He seems to want to go home and take a nice nap. I don't know if he really has in reserve the kind of energy it takes to really stretch out there and go for it. He's not sending signals that he's hungry, that he really wants this. He has slowed down way too soon. And maybe he has slowed down because, you know, he's satisfied that he's got all his ducks in a row and things are working just fine. But from where I sit, I see a candidate who is boring. He's become quite boring. And there's nothing more boring than a boring candidate. This is a fight. You have to have energy. You have to be on the ball. But again, he's acting like a very tired person who is more in need of rest and reconstitution than anything else. I don't understand, frankly, I don't understand his campaign. I know he wants to be president, but he's not acting like he wants to be president. He's kind of taking things easy when one would suspect that this is the time to rev things up. You're getting close to the end of the line here. You're running out of time. I don't get it that Joe Biden is communicating the right message to people, that he is really interested in being president of the United States, and he's giving it his all. He's acting like a guy who gave his all already, and now he just needs a rest. Don't you find that his candidacy is kind of limp, kind of lackluster? He is not engaging. He's not taking on issues. You know, he's not butting heads. And he's not, more than anything else, he's not selling himself. He's not telling the people why they should have and consider having a vested interest in his success, in his candidacy's success. He's not telling that story at all. I'm puzzled by it. And he's not talking about it. And then you have Kamala Harris, vice presidential candidate, who is being very careful not to overstep her bounds. So she too has kind of stepped back a bit from campaigning hard. What is the Biden-Harris team all about? What difference will they make in the White House? They're not telling that story to people at all. She is acting as if she does not want to overshadow Biden, but she's also not telling what this supposed dynamic duo has to offer. And as I said, he seems to be more interested in a nice long rest. He comes across as a very tired man, and he's out of energy, and he does not intend to go look for it, for energy to rev up his candidacy and his campaign. I don't get it. Maybe there's something I'm missing. You could please let me understand that. But I'm an astute observer, I think, and I just don't see it. All of the excitement that came with the announcement of the Biden-Harris ticket, and then poof, there is no more excitement. In fact, the last bit of excitement was about the fact that she was wearing a pair of Converse sneakers. Now, you're in the middle of a fight, the fight of all fights, and we're not hearing about your programs, we're not hearing about your positions, we're not hearing about where you differ with the incumbent president and how you're hoping to slam him in the election. We're not hearing that message. So is it my reading, or am I wrong? Am I off? Am I reading the wrong thing? But it seems to me that the Biden-Harris ticket has become quite boring, and they're wasting time. It's not like they've been, you know, a household name for years, and they have a lot of goodwill out there just waiting to jump aboard. They're not getting through, and they're not in turn communicating the message to the rest of us as to how this campaign is going. And between the two, we have a lot of effort being made not to offend the other. And Biden is the driving force on this ticket, no question about it. But he's falling short, I'm sorry to say. He's not attracting the kind of energy, because he isn't giving the kind of energy to this campaign that he ought to be as a candidate going up against Donald Trump. It's one of the best gifts you have as a candidate opposing Trump. But they're being very careful to the point of becoming very, very boring. And when you're boring, it does not mean that you will win. You don't win being boring. So they better make up their minds pretty soon whether that's what they intend to remain, which is boring, and lose this election, just figuring that people will get it. People will figure out what they need to do and come to their support, and that's how they'll win. It's the worst kind of logic I've seen in a long time in a presidential campaign. All right, so we have two questions at least you can choose from. And once again, the number is 888-874-4888. And I want to move along. So who's on the air? Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, Eutrice, how are you?
Okay, Ed. What do you think about either of these questions?
Well, the question you just finished referring to, I don't know why you think that Biden wants to win. I mean, you've laid out all of his all of his mistakes. Clearly, this is bad political theater at best. And I said this a long time ago. I believe I said it on your program, but I've said it to other people in the course of the conversation. The status quo wants Trump to win. The powers that be want Trump in there. Trump is the boogeyman. Trump is the bad guy, and we can blame everything that's going on him and let him take the rap for it because he really doesn't care. His coffers will be filled, which is his whole business career is simply filling his coffers and taking what he needs out of any organization, from the casinos to the construction to when he had the first project that I ever heard of him with the Walden Rink. And I know a contractor who was involved in that and lost his whole business behind Trump's promises and lies. So he's famous for being a raider and a criminal. So I don't see why you think this whole thing is a farce. If the Democratic Party wanted to win, their best bet was with Bernie Sanders. And they did it with Hillary.
But Bernie Sanders dropped out. Bernie Sanders, remember, we were appalled.
Yes,
Sanders
yes,
had come so far, and then he said, well, I'm not in this anymore. And we thought that that was because of his health, that it was a greater concern, his health and getting better was a greater concern than running. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this Democratic Party and why. And they have every reason to go for broke on Trump, because they have so much to fight with, you know, so much ammunition against him, and yet it's a very boring campaign.
I'm going to tell you why. You're dealing with all these people are affluent. They're all millionaires and low-level billionaires. They've got no skin in the game. There's no downside for them. If Trump wins, we go on as we go. If Biden wins, we go on as we go. Biden has said it himself. You got to listen to these people. When he started his campaign, Biden was at the end. Biden was in the primary. Biden was the last man. The last man. He was of no consequence. He went from being zero to a hero. Number one. Number two. When his campaign, when he got the candidacy for the Democrats, so, you know, things are not going to change that much. His whole presentation, his whole demeanor, has just been lackluster to say the best, and pathetic to say the least. It's poor political theater. They want this guy in for another 4 years because they can maintain what's being maintained. This planet is coming apart. The sky is orange in California. We've got dust 3,000 miles away. We got dust in the atmosphere in New York. I mean, come on. The homelessness, poverty, a raging pandemic, and you've got the man who is blatantly responsible for it. You're not even hearing any campaigning on that aspect to say, hey, you know, this guy killed thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people by his inaction. Well, I mean,
you have made some very strong points. Let's see how people react to what you said. Thanks a lot for getting us started today. Gwen from New York, what is going on?
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Sorry, I'm outside, but I felt compelled to call. I want to say that, first of all, I think that nobody's going to be voting for Joe Biden. They're going to be voting against Trump. And I think that...
Uh-oh. Gwen, you're fading. Gwen?
Isn't helping anybody. I mean, yes, can you hear me?
Fading. You've been fading. So this is a good spot.
Can you hear me?
Stay there for a while and complete your thought.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to say that I think that the environment is so polarized that I don't frankly think throwing any more vitriol out at this moment is a good thing. Personally, that's just me. I don't think it's good because the election is so close right now that we can't afford to throw anybody. We can't afford to get rid of anyone that may be still on the fence. And so I think that is why they're being extraordinarily careful. And I don't really care about Joe Biden not being exciting or unexciting. I only care that Trump is not going to be the president because I think people are just still not taking him seriously. People still are not listening to what the man is saying. He is now talking about retribution, shooting for retribution. This is the president of the United States saying that, you know, a man that got murdered in a hail of bullets the other day because he was a protester was murdered by the police, and he deserved to be because we have to start having retribution for against these protesters. I've never heard a president talk like this before. Only one other person, and that's Adolf Hitler. And then you have this guy Caputo going on yesterday. He is a Trump aide. He was hired by Trump, talking about getting making sure that on the day of the election that you get plenty of ammunition and get your weapons ready, because if Biden doesn't concede, the Trump voters better be ready to pick up arms and move on it. Really? I'm going to tell you, my parents live in a small little town in New Jersey, Cape May. This place is loaded at the front with very, very wealthy people, and they adore Trump. A guy went to a grocery store down here the other day and was wearing a Biden pin. Two men got out of their truck and hit him on the head with a crowbar. The whole thing was caught on videotape. Police were called. The police refused to make any arrests. When the media called to try to cover the incident, the police said they didn't know what they were talking about. Not only is there a videotape of this from the supermarket, but there was a witness. This is how violent the atmosphere is right now. And Trump continues to fan the flames of violence. I'm very afraid of him. I don't care at this point, honestly, who you put in. And I don't think that anybody here should not take this man seriously. You think he's kidding around? He's not kidding around. If you put him in for four more years, we're going to the camps. The camps are already up, okay? Black people have an X on their back. All protesters have an X on their back. We are all going to go down. Trump studied the Mein Kampf forwards, backwards, and upside down. It's his favorite book. So I don't know why we're still talking about this like it's an average election. It's not. All Joe Biden is going to be is a pause. That's it. It's a pause to stop Trump. Maybe all you'll right. get something out of him. Maybe you'll get nothing but Barack Obama out of him. Maybe that's all you're going to get. But I would take what Barack Obama gave us over what Trump is giving us any day of the week, because I really feel terrified of going to the edge like this. And I don't think we should be cynical about it. And I don't think we should – I actually don't even think we should make waves. I just think we should do what we could do, just get Trump out of office. We can pick up after that. Biden's only going to be in for 4 years. You want to put a superstar in after that? Great. But right now, I think that this man every day gets more and more violent. Every day he condones more and more violence against people that are protesting. And even people like this guy Rittenhouse, who came in and shot two protesters and wounded another one, is going to get off. The man that was in the truck that ran over two protesters and killed them, he has already gotten off. He's been acquitted. Okay? Is this you don't think this is any different from any other president? Nobody thinks this is different? I never saw this before.
Well, you made your point.
Thank you.
Very, very well. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. Pete from Kingston, New York, you're on the air.
Okay. One thing, I'm 74 years old, and I've known of the Democrats for that long, more or less, and it's just very strange and miraculous how they have become so impotent. They have been a strong party. They could muster strong campaigns, and all of a sudden they can't. It's very interesting. I don't know why they're kind of being set up to take a fall, but that's what it seems like. And the other thing is,
as a voter, what are you implied to do come election day?
Unfortunately, I don't have much choice. I'm going to vote for the Democrats because it's allegedly the lesser of two evils, but I don't think there's any more avoiding the evil. But that's what I'm going to do. And the other thing is, just to, again, to state the obvious, and of course I agree with everything the previous callers have said, that this is not just Trump. Trump's the figurehead for a really dangerous, horrible movement in this country. And, you know, I confess to not being an activist, but I hope some people, I know there are activists, but we're really in trouble. I mean, this guy should be out on his ass a long time ago. But I don't know what good it does to say. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what good it does to say we're in trouble. There has to be action. You know, hopefully he'll get voted out. And, you know, then what do we have? I'm not sure. But I'm sure it would be better than Trump. And what happened to the Republican Party that it has become so corrupt? I mean, holy mackerel. Jeez. You know, I've never been a Republican, always been a Democrat, but always had some respect for the Republicans as, you know, their version of how we should be. But it's just over the top. And I don't know how my saying all this is helpful, but I will say I wish things would get better.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family. I really appreciate the previous callers. I can remember the last two in particular more so, and I think Gwen, I think she really centered us on terms of openly advocating blood in the streets. Eutrice, I hope that you look at, and he's now saying this Michael Caputo about taking a leave of absence, because he's literally saying that whether Trump wins or not, they'll be inaugurating him, and that if you have a problem with it, get your ammunition, and that means targeting people of color. I hope Gwen, when we hear her next time, will expand on, I didn't even hear about the acquittal of someone used a car and I think killed a couple of protesters or injured them. So I'll be looking forward to that. We're really in very, very dangerous times. I mean, what was interesting on Free Speech Radio is Professor Jason Stanley of How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. He was quoting Hannah Arendt, who did The Origins of Totalitarianism.
And it's when she giving us book reports. That's not where we're going today. What's your opinion?
The point is in the 30s, the German administration was not condemning the street violence, which we've seen from the beginning of this Trump character. And that still caused the street violence to continue. The point with Trump is he actually lifts up the violence with, Gwen mentioned, Ryan Rittenhouse, or Kyle Rittenhouse, and how he, you know, spin that, even though there was a video and a court case.
I have to interrupt because I've got to bring this. The question started out as, what explains the lack of enthusiasm from Biden, from the Biden-Harris ticket? What explains it?
Well, there's nothing explains it, and it is a problem. But I think at this point, we have to deal with it and maybe reach out to their campaign, either through Harris or Biden's office, and help them out. you know, because...
We're not supposed to do that. It is their campaign. They should be prepared to suffer the consequences of which, and after raising all this money, they're not really connecting. They're not connecting with the people at all. We don't see them laying out a plan. We don't see them talking or critiquing Trump's plan or lack thereof. They're not behaving like people who are running for office, especially at a very, very tricky time in our history. They laid back and they seem to be waiting for something to happen, preferably initiated by Trump, but they're not taking the offensive. I wonder, does their behavior project to you the behavior of people who are excited about running, who have something to offer, things they want to say, and they're interested in building a base that is sure that will come to their support on election day and help them win? Are they behaving like candidates?
Well, not really, but we can also affect that. We can, you know, like I say, we can reach out as citizens and we could, you know, kind of up the ante because there is so much at stake. I mean, the reality is Biden has been right of the Republicans. He picked up Bush's banner for the Iraq War. Which didn't make any sense, but that's his basic ideology. But we can lay out the agenda that we demand from the both of them, and Harris could be more of a foil as being a black woman. You know, she needs to take more of a leading role, and Biden should recognize that.
But how could she take a leading role? She's the vice presidential candidate. She's number two. She can't override him. She can't overshadow him.
Well,
they don't understand how messed up their campaign is in that regard, that this late in the game, I don't get that they have a direct connection with the people, that they have successfully communicated their ideas and the things that they're going to do, where they differ markedly with the Trump, with Trump and his administration. Mm-hmm. I don't get that kind of conversation coming from them at all.
And you're absolutely right, because one of the things that they could do in terms of a plan that Trump doesn't have is getting on top of the virus, you know, say with these new over-the-counter tests that would give you at least 50% of the most infected. So they could actually come up with a plan that people would feel most hopeful about, because it could give Trump the opportunity to pick it up and to do something. I mean, he doesn't even believe in social distancing and mask wearing, you know, which you can see from
his
rallies.
All of this is happening against a backdrop of more than 195,000 Americans having died.
And more to
come. 195,000, more than. And we're not hearing... There's nothing going on in this campaign. Biden is acting like he really needs an energy boost. He looks like, you know, he's trying his best just to make it through the day.
Or drift well.
And Harris can't. It would be bad form for her to overshadow him.
But there
she's
could be
the vice
some
presidential candidate.
there could be some exception to that, because obviously she's quite a bit younger and she's a black woman, which, you know, he neglected via Anita Hill, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, she could take a bigger role, but they have to agree to it.
Well, all I know is the clock is ticking and we're almost out of time. Mm. We have a boring ticket here between Harris and Biden. It's a boring ticket. They are not inspiring people to support them. And they had so much ammunition that they could have used to advance their candidacy, but they didn't do it, and they haven't done it so far. So I'm wondering, is it just me confused about how you ought to behave right about now? You ought to behave like you are desperate to be the winner of this contest. And you have reason to expect the people to support you, because these are the issues that you have highlighted, but we're not getting anything from them. So we just have to get prepared psychologically that this candidacy of the Biden and Harris ticket may just be a dud. They're not going anywhere. Thanks for calling in. If you're calling in, stick around until we hear from you. Otherwise, you're just picking up space that other people could use. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I think you just nailed it at the end of your conversation with Mott. You said you called it a dud. That is exactly what it is. And the purpose of this dud was to keep the progressive wing of the Democrat Party in its place. Bernie Sanders was winning the primaries. As soon as he started winning, the entire Democratic machine pretty much sabotaged Bernie Sanders. They did not allow for Bernie Sanders to win or to run in a fair election in the primaries. The entire corporate media apparatus pretty much pointed all of its guns at Bernie Sanders, called him a straight-up communist, and pretty much destroyed his whole campaign. And that's how Joe Biden, sleepy Joe Biden, and calm Kamala became our nominees today. The Democrat Party succeeded.
Also, we can't deny the fact that Bernie Sanders cooperated, if that's the case. He cooperated with the plan and took himself out.
But you got to understand, Bernie Sanders has no choice but to cooperate because he's running on their platform. He has to go somewhere after this whole thing is over. I mean, they're all in it for themselves. And that's another reason why there's no energy. It's because, like Ed from Jamaica eloquently said, that these folks, whether Trump wins or not, they're okay. They're detached. They don't have any skin in the game. Trump's policies don't affect them. Billionaires, these folks, millionaires, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, or if it's Trump or not, they're okay. Those policies do not affect them. They are fine regardless who wins office. And these Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, they have their jobs regardless who wins presidency in November. They're okay.
Well, as you read it, how do you see this playing out? Is it going to end well?
Well, it's going to end well for somebody. The way I see it playing out, I think Trump is going to win, okay? And the Democrat Party succeeded on two points. they succeeded in keeping the progressive wing in its corner, and that because they didn't allow Bernie Sanders to quote unquote hijack the Democrat Party like how Trump was able to do in 2016. So the mainstream Democrat machine has been able to keep control. They don't care whether they're in power, quote unquote in power. They have their power. They have the alternative political party in the United States. There's only two choices that people have in this country. So they have their party power, whether they're president, they have a presidency or not, or whether they have all three, whether they have the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They can lose all of it and still be having power. You know, they still have power, the party, in itself. But I believe they succeeded in maintaining the progressive wing of the party in its corner. And you had mentioned that Joe Biden has raised a lot of money. They've been able to raise money on the back of hate Trump, we need money. And we got to understand, the Democrat Party, Barack Obama bankrupted the Democrat Party. When Hillary Clinton ran against Donald Trump, the Democrat Party was bankrupt. That's how Hillary Clinton was able to hijack the Democrat Party and rig and steal it from Bernie Sanders in the last election. So the Democrat Party was bankrupt. Joe Biden has managed to bring money into the Democrat Party, badly needed money that they needed. So he succeeded in two things, in the raising of money for the party and keeping the progressive wing of the party in its place.
When do you think people will catch on to this? Because
I think they're catching on. They're catching on already. Right now, they said that I think in Florida that the Hispanic vote is going for Trump. The majority of the Hispanic vote is going for Trump. Okay? That tells you that people are catching on. See, whether you like Trump or not, or whether his policies affect you or not, he's got a checklist of the things he promised to do. And he's been going down that checklist, marking them off, whether you like those things or not, whether they affect you in a positive way or in a negative way or not. Whether you like them or not, he's doing what he said he was going to do, something that the Democrat Party hasn't done in a very long time. And people are tired of it. People are tired of saying, oh, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm getting tired of that. Because honestly, that's what I always do. I always vote for the lesser of two evils. I don't really vote for a particular candidate. But you get tired of it because you say, you know what? What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Besides that, you're going to harm me. And a lot of people have been saying, well, we'd rather have what we had under Barack Obama than what we have under Trump. Well, when I forgot who said that today. I think it was Gwen. That made me think. I said, wait a minute. Under Barack Obama, we got to remember, Barack Obama ran on ending the wars in the Middle East, and he ended up creating more war in the Middle East. Donald Trump, hate him or not, hasn't started any new wars.
Well, in a way, he has. He had that military leader assassinated.
Yeah, he's assassinated, but I'm talking about as far as sending troops and having Americans killed overseas and invading other countries and destroying countries like Syria, like Libya. Those countries have been destroyed. They're still destroyed. What happened in those countries is going to take generations to fix.
Well, I hope people have been listening to what you're saying because it makes a lot of sense. And the reason I'm trying to get people, even at this last minute, to really take a hard look at what is happening. Don't get lost in the fervor because it's false. It's false fervor. Okay, so Joe Biden is running and, you know, this is his last hurrah. And you have the addition of a woman whose mother was Indian, whose father is a Jamaican. Oh, great. Fantastic PR. But it has nothing to do with the conduct of a campaign, the end result of which is supposed to be victory. And nobody's paying attention to the victory part. We have Biden going around the country, getting a lot of money, raising a lot of money. Where is it going?
A lot of money.
What is it supporting?
Exactly.
And so
they've won.
To ask questions. As uncomfortable as it may be, some people, as you know, would say, oh, we're trying, the one hope that has surfaced, and here we are trying to cut it down. No, we are entitled to ask questions because these questions are legitimate and these questions need to be answered. And that's what we're doing. Thanks a lot for your call today. Very much so. Thank you. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. And
hello,
the PRN family.
Thank you, Eutrice,
I respect you and your audience. You've done many, many programs on this. And we got it. I got it. And most of us got it. We know it's just you ask the question, what can Biden do to enhance his candidacy? He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do because they're working together. That's all.
They are working together.
The Republicans and the Democrats. It's one party.
But where is the proof of that?
You've done many, many programs on. You didn't say it outright.
I have, but at the same time, we have to have some kind of evidence to support the charges we're making.
But you just look at their behavior. For example, what Bernie did last time, remember?
Yes.
You did a program on that. And it was clear.
Yes, I did.
Then, and now he comes back. And there would be something wrong with me not for me just to understand it and see it clearly.
So the question still arises. Okay, so
yes.
You understand it. Is that the end of your obligation, simply to understand it? What do you do now that you understand it?
Well, I've always write my candidate in. Once I remember voting outside of the people that they select for us to vote for. And that was when Cynthia McKinney was running. That was the only time. Always write a candidate in. That's all. That's it. Because these candidates, they're not working for us. They're working for their bosses, which is not us, the people with the money.
Are you including?
I understand that.
Are you including Joe Biden and Harris in that?
Oh,
Kamala Harris.
Most of them.
Who are their bosses? Now we have to go down the line and at least address these questions because we can't leave it floating. We don't know.
The people who generate donate millions of dollars, Eutrice, to these people. I mean, just thinking about it, okay. Someone donates $100 million. Okay, and I go and make an X. Now, common sense tells me my X is irrelevant. He's going to work for the guy that donates $100 million. These are the people I'm talking about. We always, the only thing that we do is go make an X every 4 years or 2 years, whatever. And then we expect these people to serve our interests. That's, in my judgment, that's just idiotic. We put up no money, and we know the cost of running these campaigns. And we put up no money.
Let's just say, because we're running out of time, let's just say you have a point.
Okay.
What are you supposed to do with the knowledge that you have or the knowledge you believe you have and the, you know, therefore the loyalties of these candidates and the Democratic Party? How, what do you do with this information? Do you just let it rest in your head? Is it something that you know and that is what guides you personally on election day? But does it go anywhere? Does it become animated? Does it affect the outcome?
Well, you have told us over and over again that we have to do for ourselves and organize. And we refuse to do that. So the only thing I personally could do, it may not make any difference, I write my candidate who I would like to represent me. None of these guys represent our interest. None of them. So I'm going to vote for them? No.
So then this would have become a useless exercise of entertaining even remotely the candidacy of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
For me, yes.
You say yes?
Yes, for me, yes.
Well, we'll have to leave it right there, and we'll pick up the conversation again tomorrow because it's too important to leave it hanging in the air. So let's do just that. But thank you so much for calling in today and putting your thoughts out in the ether for us to appreciate. And they're very strong thoughts, very logical thoughts. And we need to follow through. So we'll gather again tomorrow and pick up from where we're leaving off today. Bye-bye.